I'm on. All right. Welcome back to our CCF Summer Series podcast extravaganza. I need Matt Dyer here. Extravaganza. But we are doing our summer series, and we've decided that we're going to record it and put it on our podcast for the summer, hence the summer series. And so you are invited to join us each and every week. We're diving through a couple of different topics as the summer progresses. The first topic that we've been in is financial freedom. This is week two with Curtis Miller, and he dives into the nitty-gritty of actual budgeting. And he actually gave us some handouts. If you listen to this and are interested in having the handouts of the things that he was talking about and how to budget for yourself, please, after the end of the podcast or whatever, just contact us, email us, and we will be sure. I think he does have it on a...
What's the email address?
My email address?
The office email address
is ccfmadison0495@gmail.com.
What's the office phone number?
The office phone number is area code 207-696-5956. If you'd like the added handout, by all means, contact us and we'll make sure we get it to you. But sit back, enjoy, and learn a little something this summer. Bye.
Good evening. You guys hear me? This one's going to be crazy, but... All right, so two things real fast. I am a much better writer than speaker so far in my life, so bear with me. I'm over here so I can see the screen a little bit better and kind of walk you guys through some stuff. Toby, you want to go to the next slide? Real quick, just a disclaimer, I'm not a financial advisor and cannot be held accountable for you completely messing up this budget and your life. If you sue me, I will sue you harder for actually listening to me. All right, a couple laughs, all right, okay. We're gonna have to keep this fun because I'm tired and this hasn't gone the way I wanted it to. So real quick, in your packets that you guys just got handed out, so what I kind of did is, Tobin, if you go to the next slide, I kind of broke these down into a couple different things. Prospering, stewardship, tithing and giving, unity, transparency, and trust, and then just being smart and preparing. So I've kind of labeled a bunch of the verses and just a quick sentence on, you know, if you need a reference to go to something, you can kind of look through it. Instead of going through all of these, which will take a long time, I'm going to give them to you guys as a resource so you guys can kind of do that. I know Mike touched on some of these last week, but it's just another resource for you guys to have. So that's what the top page is. So first on those key verses is prospering. And God wants us to prosper. He wants to let him lead financially. It's been like, it's kind of a stereotype about like even with Christians that, you know, God doesn't want us to be successful, especially financially. That is not correct. God wants to bless us. He wants us to be successful. He wants us to be good stewards with our finances, and he wants us to be able to take care of family and others. He wants us to give, and he wants us to tithe. So he doesn't want you broke. He doesn't want you living paycheck to paycheck. He doesn't want to see you guys struggle. But unfortunately, in this world, we do need money for certain things. So it's very important to be able to give that over to God and make sure that we're putting that first. So now, like, money is obviously, I don't want to come off the wrong way. Money is not a key to happiness. God is, but if you give God your paycheck, I think you're going to find that it's your job to budget it correctly, and you're the manager of it, kind of spoke, Mike spoke about last week. One thing, like, I'm 35 years old, for those that don't know. I had this conversation with Tobin years back, just kind of talking about, like, success, and, like, we've had a pretty successful business and different things. And to further the kingdom of God, somebody needs to have some finances a lot of times. So don't always look at it as it's bad to have resources and it's bad to be budgeting and be financially secure, because there is a lot of negativity that comes with that, especially like as new Christians and you're not used to putting all your faith in God with those things. But to further the kingdom. The church needs wealthy people. The church needs wealthy Christians. There's a lot of people out there. You're fighting against a lot of secular and worldly money, and sometimes we need that backing from other Christians. So on the next slide, it talks a little bit about being a good steward and with what God has blessed you with. Mike touched on this quite a bit last week, so I'm not gonna go over a ton of it, but I have some resources there. Again, Mike touched on some of those as well. And I did really appreciate Mike's personal story for those that were here. It shows us that we can all rebound, and that's very important. But I think the key to that story was what happened after you let God take over. So that was the cool thing for me. It's just like, you know, you go that long without him, and then once you finally give it over, it can take you to another level, especially even financially. And one other thing I did want to touch on, just tithing always needs to come first for God's blessing. So it's not one of those things where you do your budget, and you're like, oh, I have $5 left. That's what I'll tithe. It's completely opposite. Like a lot of, like, the Bible, you know, talks about 10%, whatever, but your tithing should always be first. When you get your paycheck, put your tithing aside and tithe every single week, and then the rest of it, you'll work out. There might be some things you have to get rid of. There might be some things you have to cut out. There might be some debt that you have to move. But it's very important. I was talking to Pastor Dan about this earlier, and it's just we'll be consistent for 3 weeks and expect everything to change and everything to turn around. And then it's like nothing's happening, and we go right back to what we were doing. With us in charge and us in charge of everything that we're doing. But he told me a cool story just kind of about that. And then this couple that was just consistent. And sometimes this takes years. If you're buried in debt, this could take years, but your consistency in tithing is what's going to get you to where you want to be financially. If you are a Christian and that's what you believe, always start with tithing and giving. And then everything else will fall into place after that. That's where you really have to put the trust in God that, hey, okay, I tithe, I did this, I'm short $400 for my mortgage. That's where the trust comes in. And it's one of the hardest things for us to do in this world because everything is so about money and finances and this and that, and needs and wants and all that different things. So I really want to just encourage you guys on the tithing and the budgeting. It's very important. It's been something that that's what can change this all around for you the fastest. On the next slide, we had a couple questions about sharing finances as a married couple. The Bible doesn't specifically speak on sharing finances as a couple. However, it speaks that we are to be one, transparent, united, and trustworthy with each other. 20 to 40% of all divorces are due or partially due to finance disagreements and strain. That's 2 out of 4 every 10 divorces are linked to financial disagreements. That statistic is enough to tell me that it's very important to make sure that we are all on the same page in your marriage, in your sharing finances, and you're doing this together. This is what the Bible calls us to do. We are joined as one. Everything should be one. And one of the most important things you will do combining your finances, so budgeting back, together,
already,
and making
sorry,
sure you guys
not,
are
yeah, no, just
together.
Maybe it's not really a question. Sorry,
slide.
Probably maybe to add about
marriage is just
who should
not
be in
just
charge,
an emotional, physical
you know,
unity.
Either,
it's practical too, and this includes
and
finances. It's not his or her
just
money; it's our money.
To add from my
mutual
from
submission
my
and trust,
story last
trust
week.
And responsibility
so
go
time
hand in hand.
That Linda did all the finances.
A couple
and then
verses
like today,
on here
I do all the finances.
That kind of talk
so
about
it can change. Depends
unity
on where you all are at and things like that. It doesn't
who
mean
should be in
just
charge.
Because somebody's doing all the finances right now,
I've actually
it has to be that way
either.
Until you die.
But budget together,
change, life changes,
and be transparent.
I think the key that,
because
that
that's,
Curtis is saying
that's
here
what's
is
really going
make sure
to,
you're together. Make sure you both know
once you guys have it
going
on, like together as far
going,
as budgeting, that's
it really doesn't matter who's doing it. So it can change.
Yep. Yep. Already?
Things change, life changes. I think the key that Curtis is saying here
make sure you're together.
Yes.
You both know what's going on, where everything's going. It really doesn't matter who you
are. Yes, absolutely. I would start with who can do math better. Like, that's a good starting point. And then you can teach them and evolve from there. One other thing on that is, like, you get some questions of like for us, for me and Anna, it's like, well, she can't buy anything without me knowing about it. So we do like we'll give some money here or there so she can have her own account to like buy me gifts because I'm going to know what she's buying me every time, stuff like that. So like that's okay as long as you guys come up with an agreement of like, hey, you know, every quarter we each get $200. We can do something for ourselves or we can do something for each other. That's fine. I also pay for a personal assistant and therapist, which is Mr. Amazon. Mr. Amazon, yeah, he's expensive. So yes, anyways, just be smart and remember that you guys are a team and everything's together. So a couple other things I did add on there is just kind of be smart and prepare. These are just some extra things. I like the parable of the loan money. I was kind of going over that this week, the parable of the talents. And it kind of got me thinking. I wrote it down there, but like it's hard to get to the 3 and the 5 talents when your 1 talent's buried in the ground underneath debt. So it's very hard for God to bless what is not yours and you're paying somebody else. So it's very important to get out of that so that God can continue to bless, and then you get to the 3, then you get to the 5, and then you really see what God can do with you, and you start using that in different ways. But if you're buried underneath it, then it's going to be very difficult to use those and let God bless you because there's nothing extra for him to bless you with. So those are just some resources you guys can read through as well. Tobin, the next slide. So kind of just a glimpse of our story. Mine is completely different than Mike's. So I'm one of 6 brothers. I had one working, like my dad worked. My mom was at home. She homeschooled all of us. Things were tight. We played every sport, all 6 of us, all the time. There was never anything extra. Anything we wanted, we had to save. So I've literally been budgeting since I was 12. So I have a good understanding of how to budget and how to save for things when you need them. I've also always been an entrepreneur because, like, I remember when we were homeschooled, like, I would go, when we had a break, I'd go in my room, I'd set up a little, like, desk with cash register and stuff. I'd be slaying, like, chips and sodas to my brothers, like, they'd be paying me and, like, doing all these different things. Yes, I've been financially literate for a long time, and it's kind of carried with me. So Anna and I have always personally been on a budget, especially like in the early years of marriage when things were a little bit tougher. We're kind of like Mike said, like now not so much. Now I'm dealing with a large business budget, which is not as much fun. But I've read hundreds of books since I was 20 on budgeting and finances and just understanding it from, you know, Christian ones to going through the Bible and just really kind of dissecting into it. We've done the envelope system, which I'm sure a lot of you guys have heard about. Dave Ramsey, we did that for the first couple of years. That's still possible to do, guys. Like, because cash is very difficult to spend. If you guys can do the cash envelope system where basically you pull everything, you pull your whole paycheck out, it's in cash, you have envelopes saying, like, this is the mortgage, this is tithing, this is whatever, internet, blah, blah, blah. Obviously, it's more difficult now because everyone pays everything online, but it is possible, especially with some things. You can do it with some things that if you're not good with it, you can do it with those. But that's a great system if you don't have any discipline and you want to start somewhere, that's a place you could start. We've implemented a ton of different other things, and it's all gone really well. Like the business side of things is a bit different. This is where I really learned about giving everything over to God. For those that like don't really know our background, we own Miller Fitness, which we have 9 gym locations, 8 in Maine, 1 in South Carolina, and then like we have 30 staff. And we got into like trouble not knowing how to run a business in the beginning. We opened Skowhegan, that was our first location. I got a $50,000 credit card. I'm like, oh yeah, like this is great. And we didn't know what we were doing. Budgeting personally versus business is a lot different. The expenses are quadruple what anything else is. So like we started, like we paid ourselves, we kept paying ourselves like what we were making at our other jobs that we quit. And then like everything kind of started like, okay, like this isn't so good. This isn't so comfortable. What's happening? So of course I was just like, let's just open another one. That should solve everything. So we opened another gym in Newport. And that's when God really woke me up. We got a $25,000 loan out for that gym, which is insane. Somehow we filled it with equipment and did the build out with $25,000. Like now it takes like $300,000, $400,000. So it's crazy. But God had a real conversation with me when we started that gym. I'd been faithful. I'd been a good steward with my money for 15 years at that point. Like I didn't love money more than God, but I hadn't given my money specifically to God. I've been tithing since I've been 18. But I didn't, business-wise, I hadn't given it to him and just let go. I've been very good with it, like I said, since I was just a teen, but there was something that was missing. So I got a little nervous with that project. We started to run out of money very quickly, and God just kind of like woke me up, and he told me to let go and trust him. I have these stories for every single gym, but this was one of the turning points financially. So this second small Newport one, we're not there anymore, but we had to build a bathroom, which bathrooms are very expensive to build. But we were down to like our last $2,500, I remember. And I was like, we can't do this. We're going to run out of money. There was a certain amount of weeks before like more money came in from the other gym, stuff like that. I got my final bathroom bill, and it was $2,495, and we had $2,500. So I went down to my five last dollars he provided. And the funniest, the craziest story is like, that was the first bathroom we had to add a shower. We had to do certain things in. I have never built another bathroom in my life. Every gym has had full bathrooms, locker rooms, everything. So like, it gives me goosebumps talking about it because we've never been short. We've never missed a payment in 8 years. He took us from broke to, you know, a seven-figure company. Few years later, it did not take much, but it's insane to me that just that one thing that I had to let go of, he provided, I had $5 left, and then I never had to build another bathroom in my life. Like, that's crazy. So I have, like, every one of the gyms has their own story, but that's the biggest, like, financial lesson I learned. I don't know how old I was, 27 years old, maybe 28 years old, but just giving it to him. And that's kind of how we got there. I've just trusted him. He always provides when we need it. And once you start going through those things, kind of like Mike shared last week, like everything just kind of starts to fall into place. So Tobin, if you want to go to the next slide, I could talk about that all day, by the way. Like the stories are crazy, but we won't have time tonight. So these are some overlooked tips and tricks. If you have a phone, if you want to take a picture, I can probably post this online too somewhere. But these are just some things like over the years that have kind of accumulated when talking to people. I do a lot of, I'm not a financial advisor, but I do talk to a lot of people about budgeting and money and stuff like that. So the first one's like no spend day, starting with one. So literally pick a day in the week, you and your spouse agree to it, or if you're single, you agree to it, and don't spend any money. Like anywhere you go, don't spend any money. If you don't have any discipline, that's a great one to start with. And then you can up that to 2 days, or you can up that to 3 days until you finally get a grasp on thing. I think you guys will be surprised how fast you start seeing your bank account. The second one is probably one of the most important ones no one thinks about that I talk to, especially younger generation. We always budget on 12 months and 48 paychecks. So 12 times 4 is 48. If you get paid weekly, you get 52 paychecks. Biweekly, you get less. So you're always going to have 2 or 4 extra paychecks throughout the year. These are actually key because if you're not paying attention, you'll just blow them real fast. But just go through your calendar, see when your paydays are. You're going to find a couple bonus months where it's like, I get paid 3 times this month. Take that money and bank it. Use it for Christmas. Use it for a breakdown. There's your emergency fund real fast. Emergency fund is done. So a lot of people don't think about that. How many people have thought about that? So not a lot of people have thought about that. But that's a really good one, too. It's almost like getting a bonus towards something that you need. Another good one is cash only daily. The average person spends $12 a day at convenience stores and just random purchases. And I know that because I spent $21 on energy drinks this weekend because I didn't want to go to the gym and get one for free. But I was like, wow, this is a good example. They add up very fast. That's almost $5,000 a year. That's a lot of money if you invest that instead. So $12 a day is a lot. Cash only is very, cash is very difficult to spend. It's harder for most people than swiping a card. So take some cash out, have it daily, have it set, whatever it is, and only use cash. Cash for fun monthly. When it's gone, it's gone. Have a whatever once you do your budget. Okay, I have this $100 I want for fun with the kids, whatever. Use it until it's gone, and then you're done. It's just creating some discipline in these things. Use the envelope system as if necessary. We talked about that. Automating savings, make discipline easy again. Like, make it go into account. Like, you can do anything now with online banking. So you can have your payroll person take it right out of your account, go into saves. Like, it's crazy. You guys can do whatever you want. But if you can't discipline yourself to save it, then make sure it's automatically saved. Automate retirement as well. I have no idea what's in my retirement because it just comes out every month. And that's the way to do it. Like, budget it, put it in, put it on automatic, and forget about it. Cash over credit, stop financing your dopamine. That's how you get in debt. So don't do that one. Buffer money, which we'll kind of talk about. This is just something I've added like into my own personal budget and you guys will have in your packets. This is just overdraft fees, unexpected expenses, like you need toilet paper and you didn't budget for it, or you forgot your lunch and you have to go buy lunch. Like, just a little bit of buffer money instead helps. Check subscriptions. I had this conversation with a couple of people this week and they saved a lot of money. But streaming services, you can have YouTube, you can have Netflix, YouTube TV, you can have, you know, Hulu, I don't even know them all, Disney. Like, how many of these are people paying for on top of having Dish, but then they don't get the local, so they get this one too? I've done it before. Like, I didn't get the Bruins game, so I paid $80 a month for no reason. But like, it happens, I get it, but those are things that you have to, if you're in debt, you gotta cut them out for now. Your phone bill, check that. Wi-Fi, internet, check those. Small phone subscriptions, those things that are, it's only $3.99 a month, so I'll just hit that. Go through your Play Store or whatever it is on Apple. I don't even know. Is it App Store? It's Play Store. But either way, go through that and you can also like sign up under different emails. So make sure you're checking all your emails because they all are linked to different things. I have like 18 emails. So go through those and just see what you're spending money on because you might be surprised at what you signed up for last year. You had a free trial. You forgot to cancel it. Adds up really fast. I will just add like gym memberships are a go. No problem with gym memberships. So everyone get a gym membership. That's great. It's healthy. It's good for you. Your body's a temple, you know, like the whole speech. Yeah, okay. Just a little bonus, cut your own hair. I've spent $20,000 in the last 17 years cutting my own hair. Right, Dave? Yes, that's the way to do it. No, seriously, not everyone has a head for that, Matt, right? Yeah, if you guys all come Sunday with shaved heads, it's going to be like a cult and like, yeah, I don't, let's, maybe we shouldn't do that one. All right, next slide. So those are just some things. Again, if you need this, I can get it to you. So the median individual household income in Somerset County, a household is $56,000, individual is $32,000. So this mock budget, I just based it off the $56,000. You guys are going to have to do your own math at home. I can't run every one of you through what you're making. Again, it's for 48 paychecks or 24 if you get paid biweekly. And it's a roughly net income after tax. So I just kind of shaved off like 150 or 200 bucks, whatever, tax-wise. Another crazy stat is average monthly debt payments minus mortgage is almost $1,600 a month. That's $19,000 a year, almost $400,000 in 20 years. Want me to say that again? Yeah, that's a lot of money. That's like in 20 years, millions if you're dumping that in monthly to a mutual. Millions and millions, actually. So that's pretty crazy. All right, next slide. So on after the verses, this is where the budget kind of comes in. I am sorry, but this is probably a lot, and if you're completely overwhelmed, I'll help you sometime. But I've used this with staff, with groups, with kids, just trying to help people out over the years. I've always used this one. It's kind of my own thing. I made it up. I use a couple things from different things, like I use the snowball effect and stuff like that. This is just an example. Like, again, I don't know your financial situation, so these are estimates. This is strictly just for personal budgeting, non-investing, business budgeting. That's a whole nother story for another time. Track your expenses, go through your bank and credit card statements, and use the forms provided to track, which are the last two pages in your packet. I just tacked them on there. Those are just some simple, I don't know when I updated them last, but just spreadsheets that you guys can use. Go through, add up what you're doing, and that will help you get your total expenses, and you guys can obviously write in other and different things there. Eliminate unnecessary debt. It's very important to live below your means to get out of debt. There's probably going to be some wake-up calls going through this, and you're like, okay, I am not even close to that. Then you got to live below your means for a while, or you're never going to get out of the hamster wheel. So just keep that in mind. Sometimes we got to get rid of some things to get us to where we want to be. Use the debt snowball and create bigger gaps by cutting expenses. This is, cutting expenses-wise is like it's very eye-opening if you start going through your bank statements and your credit card statements and, like I said, your phone app and different things on your Roku TV that you're paying for. You can get it, you could probably get to $300 or $400 before you know it of things that are just luxuries, but you're in debt, so they should not be the luxuries right now. You should get out of them, get out of debt, and then start over. So the next page, so if you go to the next page, the form 1.2, this is basically what I'm talking about. What you're going to do basically is the net pay monthly. So you're going to figure out what you guys are actually making. And I kind of gave you an example up here. I know a lot of people run commission or their checks are varies and stuff like that. Always take the lowest. So if you never make under 850, but you never make more than 900, round down to 850 and budget off that. Always budget off your lowest amount. If you have extra, that's great. Dump it towards debt or whatever you want to do with it. But always use your lowest amount. So if you're on salary like that, like for us, for instance, our managers are on salary, so they would put their minimum salary down, and then anything they make on top of that through bonuses or whatever, that's extra. So always start with your minimum. And then the expenses monthly is going to be the next part, which I'll explain in a second. So basically on the bottom of that page where it says Form 1.3, Part 3, that's where you're going to list out your debts. Tobin, if you want to go to the next slide, I might come back to that one. Go to the next one. So this is basically just an example. I got a credit card payment up there, a personal loan, student loan, and a car payment. So you're at $59,000 in debt. Your minimum payment right now is $1,000 a month. So that's kind of what I want you to do with that is list those out. If you want to go back to the other one, and then that's going to be your expenses. You're going to have your expenses after you go through the back sheets. You're going to add up everything you have, including your mortgage, and then your debt is going to be a separate part. So your debt will be on that front part. Those are the things, like this page right here, is what everything you want to get out of, you're going to put in there. That is your debt. Your expenses on the back are just things that you have to
Curtis,
pay
Curtis, can I jump in for a second, too? So just to add...
so what we did was $950 a week, which it's like $1,150, I think,
even last week.
So when
we're getting out of our
taxes.
So I was a carpenter,
and then you
so got to
add up your debt, your expenses, you got $3,120. Your total left is $680
a month. Dave Ramsey says the same thing. He says,
if that total is very low, zero or negative, you need another job,
go deliver
a new
pizza
job,
on a Saturday.
Or you're going to make drastic changes very quickly because you're continuing
extra,
to bury yourself.
And then he even had a guy on
into a hole,
which
is never
to
good.
His podcast.
So make sure like that number
driver,
should be in the positive. Hopefully it's in the positive. And then if you're still going in the negative, it's because you're spending money on things you don't really need.
So you either got to change your life or change your career.
And different things.
You can change your career too. You can, you know, people can.
If you go to the next slide.
Get training and go
yep,
do other jobs and get promoted and whatnot. But the point is, yeah, like you said, if you're down, you've got to make a serious change. And there's nothing wrong with, you know, working on the side to do what you got to do.
Your career doesn't match your life. So you either got to change your life or change
Yeah, like you said, when you, if you're down, you've got to make a serious change. And there's nothing wrong with, you know, working on the side and doing what you got.
Right. Yep, absolutely. Yep, pick up some other thing. So the next part is kind of just, I like to throw in a buffer. This is something, because everyone that comes back to me after they've been budgeting is just, I can't figure it out, or I'm doing this, or I'm doing that. They dwindle it down to the last penny, which some people can handle, some people cannot. So I usually try to throw a buffer in there. If your net pay is between $250 and $750, use $25 to $50 a week. That's just money that's going to stay in your account. This helps with overdraft, because when people budget, they forget, and they ended up going over, and then you get hit with a bunch of fees. It can, basically, it's just a buffer. Like I said earlier, you forget lunch, or you run out of this, or you run out of that. And then 50 to 75 a week if you net 750 a week. So you do not have to have a buffer. If you can go without it, like, that's even better. But if things are tight, this, again, this will help you, you know, not overdraft and get you to where you want to be. So the last slide, we had 680. That was the total from, if you're looking at your sheet, part one, you should have 680 left. And then part two, you're just going to take that 680 down to the total. You're going to add in your monthly buffer, subtract it, and then that's what your total is left. So you're at 480. This is the number that you want to use to attack your debt. After you save your emergency fund, which we talked about last week, we recommend at least $1,000 as fast as possible. If honestly, if you're budgeting over, if you're making over $750 a week, I would get it closer to $2,000 just because. But everything you have with this number, 480, that's what you're going to do, is attack with that number. Again, that monthly buffer, if you can get out of it, you can start being disciplined with your cash or whatever, however you do it. Now you got 680 to dump into it. But some people this helps a lot. Next slide. Yes, definitely. Yep. So this is where we're coming back to. So we have the 480 left from the total top. So basically, you're going to go to that credit card payment first. We do the snowball effect, goes smallest to largest. And it's not the smallest payment. It should be the smallest balance that you guys have. This just helps you mentally create momentum. So you can pay that one off the fastest, so attack that one. So you're going to take your 480 that you have from your sheet, and your minimum payment is 100, and you're already paying that. So you're going to put $580 towards that credit card every month. Anything extra that you guys get, I would throw on it, and just keep going and keep going and keep going. And then once that's paid off, now you're going to take that 580, and you're going to take the 120. So now you're at $700 that you're dumping into that personal loan really fast. Like, that's a lot of money to just dump into something and get out of debt. So that snowball effect really adds up really quickly once you start paying attention to it. I will say a couple things on here. If your number is not high, like we talked about, and it's zero, I'm getting rid of that car payment as fast as possible. I know, it sucks and it hurts, but it's that is something. The other ones, it's like, okay, you're kind of screwed. You got to pay them back. The car can go. That is something that if you're tight and you're buried, like, I'd get rid of it. Get something that's half that payment, or get something, try to find something reliable, and get rid of that, or knock it down quite a bit. So based off this, you're currently paying $12,000 a year just in debt, which, again, that in a mutual fund is a lot of money in 20 years. So that's kind of the gist of it. I know it's kind of hard up there and up here, trying to walk you guys through it. But again, if you go, so after all that, if you go to the next slide, your next page on there, this is kind of just like a net pay percentage breakdown I just wanted to throw on there for you guys. So the $950 a week, the underlying one, that's what we just did. You want to try to get your expenses down to 50%. I did it based on 60, 25, and 15. The smaller you can get those expenses bumped down, the better off you're going to be. And then if you can get it down to 50, take that other 10% for needs or wants or projects, something, and tuck it away, whatever. And remember, you still have those extra paychecks for Christmas parties, year events, whatever. If you don't use all of them, just throw them into the debt snowball. That's what I would do. But they do come in handy for things like Christmas and different things like that. So that's kind of a rough, I think I wrote, where did I put the, As far as like the, some people aren't saving for retirement yet. Like I said, I highly recommend that tithing be your first thing. 10% is a great number to start at. I think you'll be blessed by that.
Yeah, I can add to that. So and then same thing the retirement. So we talked about this actually
so a lot of people
earlier.
Ask me, like, okay, well, I'm not
I don't think
doing
Lynn and
any
I started
yet.
Anything in retirement until we were 41.
Depends on how old you are.
So I'm 57 right now.
But so now, I mean, I would. It depends on how much debt
so
you're in as
worry,
well.
Don't worry. Don't sweat
I mean,
it if you're
like,
not.
Like, that's $570
you don't have anything into retirement.
So
yet.
If you can take that,
because trust me,
if
you follow the program,
pay
God's
down
gonna
debt
bless
as fast
you,
as possible.
You're going to be fine.
That is probably what I would recommend you do.
I agree with Curtis.
Again, depending on your age, like right now, if it was me, I would do that. I would just say, okay, before retirement, I am getting out of debt completely, because then the amount of stress that comes off you when you are financially free, like Mike was talking about, is quite ridiculous. Yeah.
Because trust me, if you follow the program, God's going to bless you, you're going to be fine.
Yeah.
I definitely agree with Curtis. Get your debt.
Yep.
Get the debt first.
Mm-hmm.
And then trust me, your time will
come. Yep. So once you get out of debt, like this is what we're trying to like focus on. Try to get those expenses down to 50%. That obviously includes your mortgage and everything like that. And then that's kind of just so you guys have this based on. So if you're making $500 a week, like you can kind of see like where those expenses are. So like if you guys go through this, let's say you're on the 950, and you go through your expenses and your debt, and you're like, I'm at $3,400 a month, your percentage is way too high. And like we said, like you gotta do something to get that down as fast as possible. But this, like after you're out of debt, like this is a good thing to shoot for. Again, the 60 is just the baseline. I try to get it down to 50 or less. Like the
why
better
do you choose
the better you can the lower you can get it, the better.
Debt versus the highest.
But yeah,
interest.
That's just kind of the other spreadsheet to help you guys out. Do I have anything else? Hey, happy budgeting. It sucks, but it will get better. All right, that was a lot. And I apologize because I am like a 6 a.m. person. So if this was like I am drained right now. So if this was 6 a.m., I'd be a lot more chipper. But any questions? I wanted to save some time. Questions, comments, concerns. Mike does have a mic, so the podcast can pick it up. Also for the podcast, people that are listening, like I can have these packets over at the office so they can grab one if they want one.
I think the most difficult thing for me in the past couple of years is totally learning.
It's more for your head.
And God's
so it's basically, yep.
Even if
get one done. You throw like that you minimum are, payment into the other, and now you have two minimum payments and whatever you had left. It's just to get
stuff.
You rolling. That's
if
why it's called the snowball
it,
because it's like you're gaining momentum. You're gaining momentum. But yes, that's a good question. And yeah, you get that
over.
All the time. But that's the snowball effect.
The first
that's why.
Needs to be okay. God, I got this. What am I going to do? Because if you're going to say no, I don't want to be in the wrong place. So that's been hard. And I'm old.
Mike.
I think the most difficult thing for me in the past couple of years is totally learning that it's all God's.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm.
That's been a hard one for me to get or turn over.
Yep.
But now the first question needs to be, okay, God, I got this.
Yep.
What am I going to do? Because if you're going to say no, I don't want to be in the wrong place.
Right.
So that's been
hard. Yes. Yes. It can be very difficult. Like it's
so to kind of go off of what
it can be difficult to understand. Like a lot
there.
Of things. Like sometimes we don't know why.
You had a lesson that you needed to learn.
Some people
in your
just
second gym.
God blesses them in other ways. Like Roberta, for
and
example,
so you had
like
to learn to turn it over
she
to
can
God.
Do. But so I compare to them. You know, like I like God blesses everyone differently. I think financially, it's like we want everyone wants to be out of debt so they can one tithe. I think the more people start tithing, the more you're going to see some financial freedom. You're going
to
see changes really fast.
To that thing that we
so I think
don't want
yes,
to
getting out
of
debt
of,
is the biggest thing, and then
keep trying
I think
to
the blessings
teach you that
start
same
really
lesson over and over
there.
And over again. Until you learn it. So you might as well learn it early.
Mm. Yep. 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 I would have spent probably $1 million in bathrooms.
I have a question.
At least.
So let's say I want to put a little bit of money aside in my savings account so it'll later on benefit me so I don't have to keep digging and digging at my checking. Mm-hmm. Like how much, like what we talked about earlier about making over $750 a week. I make over $750 a week. Yep. I get paid Thursdays. What do you recommend? Mm-hmm. Like, because I got to pay $300 a week for bills and all. And, of course, I got 100%. Some left over. How much do you recommend I put in my savings a week?
Was,
like 50, 100? Because I don't want to go too
crazy.
Low, but at the same time, I don't want to go too high.
Every gym he has handed us with a bow on it, and we've never done a bathroom. We've redone Scout Hegan bathrooms, but that was after we opened the gym. But that was a couple years ago. But, yeah, very expensive.
I have a question. Let's say I want to put a little bit of money aside in my savings account so it'll benefit me so I don't have to keep digging and digging at my checking. Like, how much, like what we talked about earlier about making over $750 a week that I make? I get paid Thursdays. What do you recommend? Because I got to pay $300 a week for bills and all, and of course I got some left over. How much do you recommend I put in my savings a week? Like 50, 100? Because I don't want to go too low, but at the same time, I don't want to go too high.
Yes. So we didn't really get to all of that because this is just the basic. But after you, so right now, you want at least $1,000 or $2,000 in an emergency savings. That should be all you're saving. If you have any debt, get out of the debt. And then from there, what you want to do is get to 3 to 6 months of expenses. So once you're clear from debt, start banking all your money. COVID shows us that we have to be prepared for crazy things. Start banking all the money, 3 to 6 months of expenses for you and your family to make it through anything that is coming. And then after that, you should be done saving unless let me back up on the emergency savings. So if something goes in your car and it's $800, everything stops until you build that emergency savings back up. So if you have $1,000, something breaks down, it's $800, don't start going on $200 because then the next expense messes you up even more. So once you spend your emergency savings, pause on paying stuff, take that number from that line.
What you're saying
just
is
get the emergency savings back
the savings,
up. It'll only take you a month, hopefully.
But simple, expect the unexpected. Like COVID, what happened, that
but
was
yes,
unexpected. Like,
to,
let's say, I hope this doesn't happen.
Savings,
let's say something happens to my
vehicle.
Debt,
and then you want
to like
start
I lose a tranny or
3 to 6 months
my fuel injectors
so you have that
clog up or whatever.
On hand
so
in
what
the
you're
bank.
Saying is that emergency savings,
after that,
always expect the unexpected because you never know what could happen.
You're not making any money. You're losing money. Everything that sits in the bank, you're losing money. So you need to find a financial advisor, start investing, get some mutual funds, invest in properties, real estate, whatever, all these different things, because if you have $100,000 sitting in the bank, you're just losing it. So does that answer your question? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So like my situation, my husband and I have separate finances. We do not share money for nothing. If we ever divorce, it will be because of our finances. He makes... What I make in 2 weeks, I get paid bi-weekly. He makes in 2 days sometimes. So he buys whatever he wants, whenever he wants, whatever he... Home preparing food for some catering thing, because he works nonstop.
Sure.
I work, 45 hours a week. I work for a nonprofit. I don't make a lot of money. I don't even know where I would begin to start.
Somebody give me a tough
to try
one.
To budget.
Matt, what do you got?
Like, this all seems surreal. Like, I don't even know where I would... Because when my check gets cashed, everything is paid and there's, I'm robbing Peter to pay Paul most of the time. So, I don't even know where I would start with this whole concept. I don't want to divorce him. No, I'm kidding.
Where is he?
But
mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's going to be blessed a lot faster.
Yeah.
But yes, I would recommend you guys do it together instead of edge it together. Yeah. Even if it becomes variable, you guys should, like I said, go back to
Well, I'll tell you where you need to start, but you probably don't want to hear it. You guys should. You guys should share finances. And then you guys should set yourselves up really good, because if you have two incomes coming in, which a lot of people don't, put them, I'll tell Joe that, I'm not afraid of Joe anymore. That, I think, it's tough, because it's a team thing, and when you put two of you together, it
that,
drastically changes everything, and if God's ahead of it,
what you're suggesting like here is optimal,
it's going to be blessed
especially
a lot
when
faster.
You meet in high school,
but yes,
and get
I would recommend you guys do it together and set a budget
form,
together,
build everything together,
even if the income's variable,
together.
You guys should, like I said, go
second
back through everything,
and
get a baseline of like, we never bring home less than $4,000 cash a month,
and
so let's go off that, everything extra,
joining
start dumping into your future.
Second marriage later in life.
Sorry,
very challenging. So while that is the ideal, even in a second marriage, I would suggest that before getting married, if I were to counsel somebody who was going into a second marriage, it would be that finances are first and foremost the thing you better be on the same page on and dialed into and figure out how you're going to do it and be in complete agreement on it, be it joint or otherwise.
Yep.
I talked about tithing 10%. Have you seen people that tithe over that percentage, like they get more blessed? You know what I mean? I'm not that's prosperity gospel, but I mean, obviously, right? You give God as whatever. So have you witnessed, or is that something you've experienced where you tithe over that percentage and you've seen results?
100%. That's like one of those things they, like if your first marriage, like the two questions everyone always brings up is like, you know, are they a Christian? And what else should you talk about? Finances. You guys should always be on the same page about it. It's difficult, uncomfortable, but it changes everything. Yep.
More than somebody else, if you're giving 20 and they're giving 10, because they might only be able to give 10. But I think you'll find, like, once you're giving 10, and it's like, oh, wow.
Yes. Yep. 100%. That's, we probably tithed 10% for our first, until we, like, got going in business and things now it's, without getting too much into it, yes. Everything I give, everything we tithe comes back around in multiples. You can never outgive God, and he's always going to bless the cheerful giver over and over and over. So, yes, 10 is just the minimum. You're not going to get necessarily blessed more than somebody else if you're giving 20 and they're giving 10, because they might only be able to give 10. But I think you'll find, like, once you're giving 10, and it's like, oh, wow, I'm seeing some benefit. Then somebody needs $100 next month. You give somebody $100, and you give somebody some of this. And like, it just, it keeps coming back and back all the time.
To be honest, that's
and there's, yeah, multiple stories of that in the Bible. So, yep, good question. Anyone else? So thinking hard. I'm not answering.
Get on it now.
I had to throw my 2 cents in. Can I throw my 2 cents in? Okay. No. I don't have a question. But I do want to throw my 2 cents because
I
appreciate
this all the time to like,
Jeremiah. I think you said
that. I
have that.
A very young
and I think
team,
you know
of staff.
Unfortunately, because
I'm
of prosperity, gospel Chelsea's preaching, and all that, and yes. you know the televangelists who are always
I
asking for money.
Beat them over the head
it becomes
like, if you are
a difficult
20s,
conversation to have.
Get on it
in
right
church.
Like, I know we don't
people
have
go,
a lot.
I don't really. Just want. I'm not going to church.
Here,
I just want my money.
And just get on it now.
Yeah.
By the time you get in your 30s, like it's going to your life is going to be completely
whatever.
Completely different.
There are bad people,
even a little bit
bad motives and all that kind of stuff out there, and that happens.
It's going to change a lot.
You know the importance of giving and I think the resistance more than
oh yes
more than those prosperity gospel people and people getting a bad taste is that money is our idol. We do everything with money, and as Americans in particular, we don't like people telling us what to do with our money, right? I mean that's the thing. It's an idol. I mean, we could, you know, we do this on a Thursday. I mean, maybe if we posted this to say, hey, we're gonna talk about money for the next 3 weeks on a Sunday, we'd probably have as many people on a Sunday. You know what I mean? Like the people decide, like, nope, don't want to do it because it's our idol. I mean, above everything else, we work for it, we live for it, we retire for it. I mean, everything. And so we don't like to address it like that. So I appreciate you asking that because the truth is we cannot, and I could tell you story after story in my own life and in others that you cannot outgive God. You know what I mean? Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I think one of the, it's not my testimony, but I think my dad told the story multiple times. We had a businessman in our church down in Massachusetts, and he was just making multi-millions of dollars. And he got a hold of that giving. He's like, I'll give 10%. And it just, his business kept growing. He goes, he challenged, basically, I think he took the verse, you know, test me in this, I think it says in Malachi, and see if I won't open up the storehouses of heaven. So he said, all right, God, I'm going to test you. And he began to give 50% of his income, of his business to the Lord. And my dad, like 5 years later, was talking to him, and he's like, you know what? He goes, I now give God 90% of my income and I keep the 10. That's how my, like, I mean, you know, I mean, you want to talk about like, yeah, that's a great story for like a prosperity gospel preacher to tell, but that is like, that's a real legitimate person who would like, he tested God in that way. And he lives perfectly comfortable in the 10% that he keeps and gives the 90% away to the Lord. Absolutely amazing. You know, I was like, wow, that's awesome. Not everybody's going to have that testimony, you know, and we're not asking everyone to do that, but he was like, I'm going to try that. And, you know, I think that's the fun part of like, okay, God, you know, these budgets, they don't look fun. And it's hard to look at them and say, yeah, I haven't been a good steward of what God has given me. And I found myself in a hole and all those type of things. But God is gracious. I mean, he is a redeemer. And sometimes we get, you know, yes, we spiritualize everything and we praise God that my sins are forgiven and my debts are paid. But you know what? God can also pay my financial debts as well and my screw-ups from the past when I probably shouldn't have bought what I did. You know, I mean, there's when you begin to surrender those things to the Lord and say, okay, God, like I'm working out of this. Like, help me. And I think you both have said it. Like, it's amazing. Like, I mean, it's a forgiveness. It's a redemption. Like, yeah, I was really bad with money. And then I, you know, I surrendered it to the Lord. I confessed. I repented and began to work on that. And he you know, amazingly begins to provide in a lot of good ways. So I hope it has been helpful for you and encouragement to all of you too. It's like God is, you can't outgive him. And he's always, it's always fun to see where, when you get serious with it, where God shows up. So that's my.
Amazingly begins to provide in a lot of good ways. So. for you and encourage you. So God is, you can't outgive him. And he's always, it's always fun to see where, when you get serious with it, where God shows up.
Did anyone have any questions on the actual worksheet? I didn't really ask that. Anyone go to? Yes. Yep. I can do that. If you guys have questions, you know how to reach me, so I'll help you guys out however I can. Anything else? Good. All right. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, just thank you for this opportunity to get to you together with everyone in your house, Lord, and just learn about the things you give us that sometimes we don't manage well, Lord. I just pray for everyone in this room that hopefully they were able to just get something from this that will help them better prepare for the future, Lord. And I pray that you just bless everyone in here, Lord, with more than they can handle as they just go through this and go through budgeting, Lord. Just show them your light in it, Lord, as sometimes it's overwhelming and it can be difficult. But ultimately, Lord, the less debt we're in, the more we can give to you, Lord, the more we can bless others, the more we can bless our families, Lord. So I just thank you for this time again. Pray for safe travels home for everyone. In Jesus' name, amen.